kick leads, yeah.
Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chef from Amazon Music.
Enjoy the ride, cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the ride. Sports City, Chefs, Chefs.
Hello, hello, hello. Good evening. Coming in across the pond with some cuisine for you on this night of our last division, the AFC West, our last division breakdown. Myself and Mr. James Greenwood out there in New York State. James, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great, Rodri. How are you doing, bud?
Good stuff, bud. Yeah, all good. We're recording this as cuts are happening and as, you know, trades are going through, so We've gone right down to the wire with this since the draft, so very proud of it, very proud of what we've done and how far we've come with this, and got every roster covered, which is pretty impressive as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, absolutely. Like this week we're talking about the AFC West, rounding up the West of our preseason. Or I should say postseason reviews, off-season reviews. So let's get to it.
Yeah, just go over a little trade, a couple of trades that's gone through today. BJ Hill has been traded with Billy Price. Billy Price, Ohio State center, he was with the Cincinnati Bengals. He's now with the Giants. Giants need a lot of offensive line help. BJ Hill is a defensive end, five technique. He's over 310 pounds, so I imagine Cincinnati will move him inside back to that three technique, which I prefer him in. I think he's going to be better there. It's a good trade for both sides, I think, going in today. And then tonight, Sidney Jones has been traded from Jacksonville to Seattle for a six-rounder. Sidney Jones going back to Washington, the state of Washington, where he played some college football and played really well alongside Budda Baker. Eric King of that team at Washington. So I'm excited for him. Cut by the Eagles. Not very good showing with the Eagles. Played a little bit of good ball, but with Jacksonville, he's thrived and he's managed to get himself back. With Seattle, where he can build with Jamal Adams, I think it's a great move by Seattle. So they're getting stronger up there. So just two trades have gone in tonight. And also Malcolm Butler looking at retirement. For some reason, he's not happy. He's been out of the building this week with the Arizona Cardinals, so he's not in a good place. So contemplating retirement, won a Super Bowl with the Patriots, and he made that pick as a rookie. He's just been in the league now seven seasons, so that's a long ago that was. So he's looking at calling it a day, which is sad, but just look out for more on that and more cuts and trades as the week goes on. But let's kick it off. Looking straight away. Where do you want to start? Do you want to start?
Well, there's one name I do want to talk about in the cuts. Just as I was scrolling through them, one name really popped out. Former Detroit Lions running back Kerryon Johnson got cut by the Philadelphia Eagles this today, and who has just actually just cleared waivers, actually cleared waivers today, which is interesting from our discussion about the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday, looking for a running back that they could fish off the waiver wire. This should be a pretty easy signing for them, I would think, as well as Bo Scarborough, who we were talking about, got picked up by the Raiders and then released recently as well. So there is a lot of interesting names going back out on the running back market that I think can really add into that dynamic. And former first-round pick Taco Charlton never really made it in Kansas City. It was also a cut as well today. But yeah, anyway, just a quick aside on that. Maybe we should get started as we have been at the bottom of the division. The team at the bottom of the division this year was the Denver Broncos. Why don't you? I've obviously got my own opinions on what the Denver Broncos did this season. I think it was probably a few of the best moves that were made out there in the offseason. So I'll let you go first.
Okay, yeah, I go straight into the front office then and just look at, John Elway. Look at what John Elway's done with the quarterback position. I know he's had a massive impact on both of these, bringing in both. Teddy Bridgewater, Andrew Locke. I know you was going for from the start. Big Teddy Bridgewater show on Fanhood, yeah. But yeah, Drew Locke. I love Jerry Jeudy. I think he's going to be a phenomenal receiver in this league. Also KJ Hamler, I think he's going to make an impact. But it's going to be the link up. It's going to be the link up, and who's going to do it best? Look, people are talking about who's going to be week one start as a quarterback. I'm going to be more interested in who's going to be the week five and six start as a quarterback. Let's let these rookies sit for a bit, and let's let these backup quarterbacks, these veterans play. And I think the same thing in Denver with Bridgewater and Drew Locke, and then also Taysom Hill, Jameis Winston in New Orleans as well. All these little battles, let them play out. I think week five or week six. It's about the time where you should be reevaluating the quarterback position. Mike Shula with Denver has done a good job of both of them. Pat Shermer has got a good offense. If you look at the former coaches in there. You've got Mike Munchak at the offensive line coach. And then moving on to just like Ed Donatell and John Pagano, just guys on the defensive side of the ball as well with a lot of, a lot of experience. And Tom McMahon as well as coordinator. But yeah, Not to take over all the team. I know we just won't go through it, but this offensive line is looking good for me, James. I really like the drafting of Quinn Meinerz. I know he might be backing up early. Lloyd Cushenberry there at center as well, and at guard I think he's just spoiled with Risner. Dalton Risner, I think, is one of the best guards in the NFL when he gets from a run blocking point of view, definitely. And then he's still young, so he's got time to improve. Team Mooty's had a good camp. Graham Glasgow's there, so the talent's there inside. And then this is the outside that's really going to be tested. And then with Garrett Bowles, he's just improved as time has gone. Bobby Massey's there from the Bears, so they got some protection there. And then the receivers are talented. Melvin Gordon, but the pick of the draft for me, Javonte Williams, I think is going to be huge for them in the system. I think like the run, Caden Stearns, another great draft pick at safety. That's one of the most underrated defensive backfields, I think, in the game. It's a fantastic defense. I'm not worried about him on a defensive ball so much, but they got some stars coming through offensively. I think you'll agree, Jerry Jeudy and Seth Williams and also Javonte Williams, I think, is going to be big for them, along with Melvin Gordon and just a couple of us. So they're pretty stacked. And looking at the roster, it's quite a stacked roster. A lot of lot of experience on the coaching staff as well. And, is Von Miller going to get back to his old form? You know, they got Chubb on the other side and some good linebackers. So they're pretty much loaded, bro. And I'm excited to watch. And I'm really, it's going to be interesting. It's such a tough division. This division is loaded. And the Broncos could be a sleeper team.
Yeah, so one of the big things that I thought was a problem with the Broncos last season, I think their cornerback core definitely needed some improvement. But the big thing was, I think at the quarterback position, Drew Lock was missing his targets, overthrowing, underthrowing. That's why Jerry Jeudy kind of had a really pedestrian start of the season, because those two were not connecting. Adding Teddy Bridgewater for a 6th-round pick brings them from probably, in my opinion, the 35th, 36th best quarterback in the league as your starter to probably somewhere in the top 20 to 15 on good days. You put Teddy Bridgewater in on this team with this offensive line, which is reasonably strong, with these wide receivers, with Jerry Jeudy and Cortland Sutton, Noah Fant heading into, I believe, his third year as a tight end. This is when tight ends tend to break out and lure their way into the league. So we should see a production boost from Noah Fant going into year three. And then they've got a two-headed backfield with Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon as well. Williams looks like before too long is going to get that starting job. Right now it's still a two-horse race, so it'll be interesting to see where that goes. But the other things, the free agency signings, I think, were also really big. Getting Ronald Darby from the Washington football team and Kyle Fuller from the Chicago Bears, add that on top of Patrick Surtain, who they drafted in the first round, that really solidifies the backfield, and re-signing Justin Simmons and Kareem Jackson as their safety duo is just really solidified that back half of the field, which is really important when we're talking about having to deal with the likes of Tyreek Hill and Keenan Allen two times a year. If they're going to make the playoffs, which I think the moves that they've made this offseason really put them in a position to do that, I think that this is something that this offseason was realistically something that they did a lot of the right things on and put themselves into serious playoff contender categories right now.
Yeah, I agree completely. Bryce Callahan is such a good corner. I think I think you hit the nail on the head there by just saying, this Chiefs, I think, It's a defense built to defend Kansas City, basically. I think you look at the corners. Ojemudia from Iowa, Amazigh draft pick a couple years ago, so they're loaded. And Pat Surtain, adding Fuller, Darby, Callahan, and then Caden Stearns as well. Caden Stearns is like a backup for Justin Simmons at safety. And it's just like with Von Miller and Chubb off the edge, if they can get pressure, then nobody's going to be passing a lot on those guys. Just good looking at the team, it's absolutely loaded from top to bottom, and you've got it's good, and this is great because the cuts of such a talented roster, the cuts that's going to fall into the hands of other teams, is going to be great. Just looking at the receivers, Cortland Sutton is a guy who can really step up, and Tim Patrick as well. Two guys that can really step up and play well. Wondering what they're going to do with Tyree Cleveland and Seth Williams out of Auburn. Might be on the outside looking in because Jerry Jeudy. So, yeah, practice squads are going up this year as well. They're going to be up to about 15 players. So, with practice squads, such a high number, you're going to be able to maintain a lot of talent, and in this COVID age. I think it's great, but they're going to need to also.
Yeah, so if you got nothing else to add, I think it's okay to start moving on to the next team in the division, which I believe, if I remember correctly, is the Los Angeles Raiders, who came in at a very respectful 8-8 last season. I mean, especially for the team that they have around them, 8-8 is a pretty decent, well-coached year. As far as the guys they lost, Nelson Aguilar, who was hardly anything, to be completely honest, but was kind of a big deal for the Raiders last season. Tyrell Williams also left the Raiders last season. Trent Brown's gone. Gabe Jackson's gone. Rodney Hudson's gone. They're definitely going to start working their way back down towards the lower half of this division. When we talk about, just the offensive line prowess that they ended up losing. Yes, they replaced Trent Brown with Alex Leatherwood, but we're putting a lot of onus on a rookie offensive tackle to make that work. But they do have John Brown, but I really question if he's going to be the number one guy in Las Vegas. It's kind of hard to say. Yannick Ngakoue to put on the other side of Khalil Mack, that definitely puts a bookend on your defensive end situation. Kenyon Drake coming in to help spell Josh Jacobs, both their legs a little fresher, and give them kind of a little bit of a change of pace, and that 1-2 punch is kind of the big things that I saw as far as off-season veteran acquisitions go. As far as the draft is concerned, Alex Leatherwood is kind of the first-round pick and the headliner, but let's not forget about Trayvon Morwing, who came from TCU, probably going to start right away at the safety position, in my opinion. Other than that, I'm not a fan of anything else that they really did on the back half of the draft, to be completely honest with you. Those two draft picks are great, and they haven't really hit on anything else at all, in my opinion. So I think that the Raiders kind of progressed this past offseason, but what do you think about what the Raiders did this offseason?
Interesting take. I got a question for you in 2 seconds as well. I've put quite an interesting question as well to see where they are as a franchise. But so they're playing in a nightclub, right, in Las Vegas in the middle of the desert. That's just the way it is these days. it's pretty much a nightclub in the middle of a desert. I've been looking at videos. It's crazy. Jimmy Morrissey, the center they got. Nick Martin's there from Texans. I wonder if Jimmy Morrissey's going to make a cut. I do like him, but I don't know if he's going to make a cut. To me, it's like getting pressure's been their problem. I think Cleveland Farrell is going to be a great player. You know, Max Crosby as well. Good players, but they get enough pressure. They got Gus Bradley there now as defensive coordinator. Rod Marlin, he's the defensive line coach. I don't know why they go with a Preston Buckley. I'm a huge Preston Buckley guy. Yannick Ngakoue, as you mentioned, they've got to get pressure on the quarterback to give that defensive backfield a chance. Because it just hasn't had the time it's needed. Jonathan Abram needs to stay healthy. He's just a hitter. He's playing. He's just a hard-hitting safety, who I love to watch. But he has been suffering with the injuries. Trayvon Mullen, they need to play up to his abilities, and they bought in Casey Hayward, which is he's in his 10th year now, so that's a good signing. But Damon Arnett, another high draft pick, they need to just get these boys playing up their potential. I think like linebackers, they might have trouble stopping the run. I know Corey Littleton, they brought him from the Rams 3 seasons ago. Got Kwiatkowski, the Bears, these boys, you know, they're going to be stopping a run, but they haven't been able to get a job done that well. So need them to be able to do that. So they, you know, bring in Gerald McCoy to help them up front. They brought in Denzel Perryman in a trade recently. Love Denzel Perryman. Sure he's great at Miami, you know, like a John Over Vilma type of linebacker. So I'm hoping he can sort of get something done. Divine Diablo, they drafted, much like Tanner Moose, both very fast, 225-pound sort of linebackers who you can plug in on special teams day one and be core special team players. So looking forward to see what they do. Always good on special teams. Mayock and Gruden look make sure of that. But, you know, Josh Jacobs, Trey Regas is a running back. I really like Trey Regas out of Louisiana, like Lafayette. I'm hoping he can get some carries. Kenyon Drake is there. But Josh Jacobs is such a valuable player on this offense. Look, we just come off talking about one great Alabama wide receiver, Jerry Jeudy. There's another one, Yearn Ruggs, Henry Ruggs, who's on that same offense in Alabama. Are they going to need him and Hunter Renfro? Brian Edwards needs to play up. I mean, these guys are so talented. Derek Carr needs to give him the ball. And Darren Weller, what a story, you know. And one thing I will say, John Gruden done a great job of finding him and bringing him along. And then Foster Moreau, I think, is going to have a big season. The other tight end is going to have a huge year. And I got a question for you, and it's about Mike Mayock and John Gruden. And we know they've come in and they've took hold of this franchise and pretty much built it from the draft. Mike Mayock has such a good influence. He's a couple of time on NFL Network and things like that. Do you think this is the year they got to show that this team is a winning team and they're going to make the playoffs for them to keep their jobs? Or do you think it's fire line stuff now?
So I'm trying to just remember. Let's see. John Gruden signed a 10-year, $100 million deal with the Raiders. Just trying to remember how long ago it was, because 2018. So
yeah,
this is 4 years in. Gruden's safe. Mayock may or may not be safe, but Gruden is definitely safe. They're not going to eat like 6 years of whatever guarantees they put into that contract. They'll give Gruden at least one or two more years, and as they ought to. I think that bad teams remain bad because they are constantly cycling the coaching carousel and just hoping that their bad team will strike gold at one point. At some point, I think that a lot of teams are starting to realize that in order to turn around a bad franchise, they have to rebuild it in an image. And that's what the Raiders are doing. That's what the Browns kind of did the whole cycle thing, and it worked out for them, but it was off the backs of a extreme abundance of draft picks. Which is something that I don't think we're going to see very often anymore because of how well the Browns did with it. So the new hotness in the league is to give your exciting coaching candidate multiple years to rebuild the franchise in their image. Theoretically, with seven draft picks over the course of 5-6 years, you can replace the majority of your team, but it seems as though they're giving them even longer now, like 6 years plus. So I would imagine that's when the cries for Gruden, if there's no playoff spot for Gruden in that later terms, maybe give it another year or two with no playoff experiences, then they'll start really thinking about dropping him. But as of right now, I think Gruden is extremely safe.
Yeah, and they got like his son is in the strength, the cornet job and stuff like that. So it's like they definitely buying in with him. I mean, obviously Mark Davis and the Davis family love him. I mean, it's that's obvious. I'm thinking that how long will the fans allow it? How long will really allow it. I mean, he's brought in Odd Man early from his days, and you know, he's just at that Tampa Bay influence and what he had there, and Bradley's there now, changed over, changed defensive coordinators again. So you know, they are moving around. But I just, you know, I hope Mike Mayock gets. I really like Mike Mayock. I think just his knowledge on the college systems and the players coming from college, I think would it should have helped them by now. I think it's. I think this is the year where you're really going to see that kind of pay off, but I hope so anyway. And, you know, Goon's got his guys. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. And, yeah, I agree. Yeah, it was a big contract. When you're thinking, you know, how you know, if they go winless, then how much is that contract going to be the issue? Because I just can't, you know, it's just those things you've just got to think about. But that ain't going to happen, obviously, but... It's something to dwell over, something to think about, and just food for thought more than anything, as we are chefs. But yeah, interesting team. I think being in the lights of Vegas now, having fans there, that should really help them out a lot. And they got a line like Richie Incognito, just a great veteran, love him on our line. You know, John Simpson, Clemson champions, you know. They brought in a lot of national champions or players who won a lot in college, you know, Cotton at Alabama, and Pharrell, who was a captain, as you know, on the Clemson team that won the national championship the year he was there. And just guys like that was you're bringing in. And so it's a team of winners, and that's some good talent.
That was kind of why I was kind of surprised when they got rid of Gabe Jackson, to be completely honest with you, is because, yeah. I mean, Richie Incognito is still like 38 years old right now. I mean, offensive linemen tend to last longer than any other position in the league, but other than like kickers and quarterbacks, apparently, the super protected class of positions, but... Still, at 38, he's not going to be the guy who was a Pro Bowler in 2019. They're putting a lot of eggs in that basket to keep on rolling Incognito after all this time.
Do something for me, right? I was thinking this exact same thing the other day, and I was like, okay, so what's going on? And then I put on this, you know, like went on the Oakland Raiders website, and I just put on this Richie Incognito mic'd up segment. And he's mic'd up. And you listen to him and watch him on there, right? And he's just like it's like as if he's running the show. He's genuinely like a coach on the side of the field. And he's holding his own in every drill and things like that. And he's such a good run blocker. He's so big and strong. And it's like, you know, this guy looks 25. And he does. He just looks, you know, looks really good like that. And he plays well as well, which is such a crazy thing. But and then Gabe Jackson leaves. And Seattle love him. I mean, one of the best things that happened to him coming out of the camp is saying it's Gabe Jackson's play. So, you know, these are good players, and it's a special story as well. He needed a lot of help as well, Richie Incognito along the way. I mean, his story going back to just the name Incognito when he comes to Ellis Island and. You know, he hasn't got papers, so they just put it. So they write Incognito down, like nameless. That's where the name comes from. Incognito. It's like he comes to America, hasn't got a name, and then he goes and plays in the NFL. You know, makes $1 million. So you know, just his story as well in general with mental health and the battles he had. I think he's good for the locker room as well. One of those guys, and. Yeah, definitely interesting character, and it's going to be interesting to see how this division goes because it's so strong. And we just talked about the bottom two teams from last year, and it's going to be good. It's going to be good.
All right, so might as well move on to the top two teams. Actually, I kind of skipped one. I could have sworn that the LA Chargers were a better team last year than the Raiders, but they actually weren't. They were actually a win behind them at 7-9, and it definitely doesn't feel that way. Why don't we give you the lead as far as the LA Chargers are concerned?
I thought we was going off on how you felt about them, but
it's fine.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a toss up between those two at the moment. Anyway, neither are. Yeah, you got the rookie of the year. I mean, the LA Chargers, you got the rookie of the year, Justin Herbert, who was just outstanding, I thought, last year, coming in with 31 touchdowns, a rookie record. I love what they've done this preseason, keeping Derwin James out, because the injuries and his luck with them has just been terrible. I mean, he's one of the best defenders in the league. Could have had Defensive Player of the Year, I think, multiple times by now, but just hasn't been able to stay healthy. And it's just like if he's unknown, and he's such a talented player. So just if they can keep Derwin James healthy, that'll be a start for them. They need Nick Bosa. They'll be getting sacks as well. I think that's a big massive issue for them is pressure. And then guys like Jerry Tillery, Linval Joseph. They can do a job up front, but then offensive line, again, they've had struggles there. Corey Lindsley really sort of helped anchor them down a bit last year, and they got some, they sort of turned it around. Really like what they've done there. So they've sort of got a bit of calmness now on the offensive line, and they can, Brian Bulaga, Matt Filer, guys are good players. They can protect the franchise. Rashawn Slater, a high draft pick, they can bring in now. Of the Northwestern, Pip Gaines, Storm Norton, guys like that, they can just come in and get some good depth there. Ibushi at guard. That's where it starts for them. But you look at like the running backs, they brought in, like Eckler's been there now for a while, and he's not highly touted running back in the league, but he's been so effective, such a good running back, and still flying under the radar. I don't think many people are mentioning him, but he's coming into Western State in Colorado, and he's 5 years in, and he's just been outstanding. He's just been a brilliant player. And they got Justin Jackson behind him, but it's Austin Eckler, fantastic. He's been such a good player for them. How much are they going to miss Hunter Henry? I think that's going to be a question. That's going to be interesting. At receiver, yeah, again, Keenan Allen, not mentioned with the elites, but he's just been so brilliant. I don't know why that is as well. He never mentioned alongside DeAndre Hopkins, Julio Jones, never mentioned alongside Tariq Hill, these guys. And he's just, year in, year out, he's just been brilliant. Mike Williams, Joe Reed is there, KJ Hill, these guys going to, have a bit of an impact, sure. Jalen Guaidon, he can play. Defensive backs, really like that defensive backfield again. You go in his division, you got Patrick Mahomes, you got the Chiefs, so they got to combat that, and they need to keep Derwin James healthy. I think that's the key to most of it. That's the key to their success, I think. And I just want to see him healthy because he's such a good player to watch, and I'm a huge fan of his. Chris Harris Jr. is there. Seems like he's been playing forever. And Asante Samuel Jr. making us feel old again. I remember his father playing like it was yesterday. Asante Samuel. So, yeah. Again, built for the Chiefs, though. So let's see what they got. I think it's going to be a good year. I think Justin Herbert's going to play better than he did last year. Or do you think he's going to have a sophomore slump?
I'm going to start with before we talk about Herbert and what he's going to do this upcoming season. I think the big thing that I want to talk about first is the reconstruction of the offensive line, putting out big money for Corey Lindsey from the Green Bay Packers, one of the better centers in the league. So that's going to solidify that position with a Pro Bowl caliber player right away. Matt Filer from the Pittsburgh Steelers, also one of the better offensive guards in the league, definitely in the top 10 to top 15 of his position. They re-solidified the interior of the offensive line, which is going to allow for a lot of different things. One, it's going to prevent pressure up the middle, which is going to allow Herbert to walk up into the middle of the field on pass pro, but is also going to open up things pretty heavily for the ability to run up the middle, which is going to help him in his play action if there's actually holes in the middle of that field at this point. So those are the two really big signings that I think people should not be ignoring. Other than that, I mean, Ode Ibushi might find his way to a starting spot on the other side. He's okay. He's not great, but I think he's starting caliber anyway. A low tier starting caliber guy. But the other big one is, after losing Hunter Henry to the New England Patriots in the offseason, they were able to sign Jared Cook at age 34. So it's definitely a downgrade for the Chargers at tight end, but it's not something that they're going to, it's not going to destroy them. It's a bit of a downgrade, but they're fine otherwise. As far as other things, they really needed to replace Casey Hayward, which they did with Asante Samuel Jr. We're going to see how that works out. Asante Samuel Jr. is kind of all over the map when you listen to different analysts. I am more on the pro side of Asante Samuel than most. Was he really a second round pick? Not sure. He was a third round pick, which is a lot better in my opinion. He was a second round pick. Yeah, number 47 out of Florida State. I think that's fine. I think that's proper value. Maybe a few selections above where I actually had him going. Rashawn Slater, grabbing him, that's again something that's going to help solidify that offensive line at the left tackle position. That was really important, I think, for them. And the one I really didn't like was Josh Palmer. One, they don't really have a need at wide receiver. They've got Mike Williams. They've got Keenan Allen. Those two are very easily top tier number one and number two wide receivers. So why do they really need Josh Palmer in the third round? There was a lot of better people available. I don't know, and honestly, I kind of thought Josh Palmer was like a 6th, 7th round pick to begin with. I'm not a fan of that selection. Other than that, like draft-wise and off-season, one guy I'm kind of interested to see how he develops is Trey McKinney from Georgia. Jared Cook being 34 years old, there's going to be opportunity, I think, for Trey McKitty to work his way into certain situations and like try to develop into the number one tight end eventually. It's not going to happen this year, but it could easily start happening next year if he can develop. So hopefully he sticks his nose to the grindstone and sees exactly what happens. Other than that, they did kind of take a step back, losing Marvin Ingram from the edge rusher position. And that's about it as far as like the, 'cause everything else, they kind of filled in their holes pretty admirably. So I think that ultimately this is a team that takes a step forward this season, but just as my own perspective, I don't really see playoffs in their future, just because I think they're going to miss it out from the Broncos and the Chiefs. And I know it's possible for three teams to make the playoffs in a division especially nowadays with seven playoff teams. But I just don't. I just think they're another year off of the mark, I think.
That's fair enough. Yeah, I really like, when Anthony Lynn, moving on from Anthony Lynn as well, I think has helped them so much. It's just Brandon Staley's brought something there. I really like what he's brought as a coach. Tom Telesco as well as a GM has done a great job. Joe Lombardi, offensive coordinator. I mean, it really is. I mean, for me, the best move they made was just like saying, Derwin James, you're not playing this preseason. Joey Bosa, you're not playing this season. I just know that you're not playing preseason. So at least they're going into the season, week one, with probably their five best players intact and they're ready to compete day one. I mean, it's just been so heartbreaking watching Derwin James go down, the way he's gone down as well. Just like really outrageous injuries. But, hey, they got a stadium there now, LA. Are they going to get a team? Are they going to get the support there? They're competing with the Rams now as well. So it's like, got a feel for people in San Diego. What a great place that was for our team as well. So, a lot of history flying around there, a lot of nostalgia, a lot of battle between the fans. It's going to be interesting to see how it is going forward. But, you're just outside LAX, but you're just down in Inglewood, just down a road. So it's like a great place, for people coming going into the States to go follow a team. You want a team to go and support. And, look at how young this roster is and the talent that's on there. It's like, get out there. Just going back to Asante Samuel, I think, just looking at his Florida State film, he's still only 21, so he's still young, but, he flashes his father in past defense, as far as I can see. So it's going to be interesting to see how he plays, but I think he's got some good, definitely good genetics, but I mean, some good movement, a quick twitch, and see how he plays. But yeah, another good team, and see how it goes. I mean, everybody at the moment's like, I haven't lost a game, so everybody's got hope. I mean, week five, week six, let's see where we are, right? And then we come back to it. But this is a good team. This is a good team. Joe Graziano, Northwestern, another, like, guys like Joe Graziano on special teams, just tough kids like that, going to make it. We're going to make this team. Nazir Adderley, a good safety out of Delaware. Time for him to shine next to Derwin James. Great Drew Tranquil. Kazir White, good players, good linebackers. Let's see what they got. Kenneth Murray out of Oklahoma. What a player he was at Oklahoma, They got the talent there. Let's see it on the field now.
All right. So it's time to move on to the last team in our breakdown, the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs went 14-2. This past season, and show no signs of slowing down. Why don't you go ahead and take the Chiefs to start out with?
Well, I was looking at the roster yesterday, the schedule yesterday, right? And I looked at week one, they've got the Cleveland Browns, and week two, they've got the Baltimore Ravens. And it's like, and then week three, the Chargers. But it's like, that's such a difficult start of two games. But I'm thinking if they can get past those first two games, right? I'm seriously thinking there's a chance they can go undefeated. I think they're in a perfect spot to do it. Andy Reid loves, just has a way of getting back-to-back wins and going on winning streaks. He's done it like every season for as long as I can remember, just like running up winning streaks. Eric Bieniemy, they managed to bring back Steve Spagnuolo, they brought back as a defensive coordinator. So they got everybody back that they needed. You look at, Andy Hegg, there's an offensive line coach. That was their problem to me last year. You look at the Super Bowl, there's pressure up the middle from the Bucks, right? I think we know that. They go and sign Austin Blythe at center, Joe Tooney at guard, good doctor, Dr. Tudanif, comes back. These are guys who've played well at that level. Andrew Wiley has been a stud for them. He's back. And, tackle then, Eric Fisher's left town, yes. But, they bring in Orlando Brown, who played, who was a great senior. Obviously, he played at Baltimore left tackle last year. Wanted to get signed as a left tackle. Baltimore didn't want to do it, so Kansas City has done that. I mean, bringing a rookie like Trey Smith out of Tennessee, Creed Humphrey is going to compete at center and at guard as well. So it's like they've sorted out the problem. Like Lucas Niang on the other side, Mike Remmers has solidified that right side as well. He's played well there. So, I mean, they're protecting the franchise, right? They're protecting Pat Mahomes. And then it's just a show. I mean, the Clyde Edwards-Helaire, they're bringing Jerick McKinnon, who's really fast, you know. There's just speed everywhere. Travis Kelce, or Kelce, however everyone should, I say Kelce, I think he's just outstanding. I mean, it's pass catching radius is outstanding. Mecole Hardman, he's a year later in his development out of Georgia. And DeMarcus Robinson, I think these two are going to be huge this year. As they are everywhere, but I mean, Tariq Hill is like a track meet out there. Byron Pringle, Cornell Powell as a rookie of the Clemson. So, you know, offensively it's sound, and defensively then they've done some, again, proof free agency. Fantastic job in bringing in Jerron Reed to join Nadi. And then you put Chris Jones outside, so it's just they're going to stop the run this year, there's no question. They've built with those three to just stop the run, and I think, you know, Tyrann Mathieu is just Josh Thornhill. They're gonna bring the Thunder up the middle, and you know the linebackers there as well. So it's just gonna be they're gonna be able to. You know, Anthony Hitchens is sound in the middle there, and he's gonna be able to guide Gay and Bolton or Daniel, and it's just gonna be defense is just as good as their offense. I can't see him. I can honestly see him going undefeated, James.
So, I mean, I'm not as strong on their defense as you are. Seems like they've spent a lot of this offseason on their most glaring weakness and the biggest thing that prevented them from winning a Super Bowl last season, or over multiple seasons, I would guess, and that's the offensive line. Cutting Eric Fisher and Mitchell Schwartz and taking in Orlando Brown, re-solidifying the middle with Joe Turney and Kyle Long, and then drafting my favorite center of the draft, Creed Humphrey. I think all those things line right up with a rebuilding of the offensive line, plus adding Mike Remmers to the right hand side is pretty good as well. They also were able to, as far as the draft, the biggest thing is they were always gouged up the middle. That's how the few losses they've had happened. Grabbing Nick Bolton, the linebacker from Missouri, is going to help out with that. And adding a little bit of defensive end presence with Josh Kando from Florida State could see action pretty early, and was a pretty nice value in round three. As far as the other kind of big things that they were to worry about is edge rusher. I don't think that they really addressed that all that well this offseason, even though they lost a lot of what they've had in the past few seasons. Replacing Le'Veon Bell with Jerick McKinnon is probably an upgrade, at least from a cost perspective, if nothing else. But Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to be the workhorse back in Kansas City for now on that. But all in all, they did a pretty good job of replacing what they lost. They didn't do it perfectly, and there's going to be some weaknesses on the scene that we haven't seen in a long time, but this is still a 14-2, 13-3 style of football team. And the one thing they did do and made sure they did was protect the $500 million man as best as they could. And that offense is going to be singing for a long time, which will give a lot of help to the defensive coordinator, knowing that eventually that team's going to have to pass.
Yeah, just a joy watching him throw. I think he's got better as well. I think he's like watching him in the Super Bowl. Just that throw he made from just like a lying position. I think he was like lying on the floor basically. He was like hovering about 2 feet off the floor actually, and just like in a flat horizontal position, and just he was putting the ball in players' chests and they just wasn't catching it. Like I just couldn't believe what I was seeing. But credit GM Brett Veach, credit Andy Reid. I mean, Andy Reid, you look at what he's been through just since coming from the Eagles, you know, and the story, just building what they've built there. I mean, drafting Mahomes was just a stroke of genius, really. I mean, that was just a great move. I mean, I loved him. Okay, everybody could say, oh, yeah, you know, but it just generally did. I mean, he was throwing a football like a baseball, I think, and that was the biggest giveaway to me. It's like, you know, anytime we could do that. He was on, like, Gruden's QB camp and just throwing against the grain and things like that in ridiculous ways. But what I love about Andy Reid, right, James, is he gives players chances as well. Like, he gives Tariq Hill a second chance after what he went through. He's given DeAndre Baker, the Georgia corner, who got cut by the Giants last year because he was wrongfully accused of something, but it turned out he wasn't as bad as what everybody was saying. So he's with them now. He's landed on his feet in Kansas. So, you know, yeah, as far as pass rush is going, you did mention it. Yeah, it's like Frank Clark has been the main man there, just trying to do it all by himself. So hopefully he can get a bit of help. Alex Okafor does do a bit, and they've got some, you know, they've got to get some pressure from somewhere. But, along can those two get that done. And Kingdo is there. It's going to be interesting to see again the cuts and see who goes on the market. But like players like Daniel Sorensen are just so valuable. Like, I mean, you know, like Juan Thornhill and Tyron Matthew, the starting safeties. But what Daniel Sorensen does during a game is unbelievable. I mean, it's just the plays he makes, and he's 31 years of age, not going to start anywhere in the NFL, but just plays really well in this system, you know, in the Spags. And it's like, really think if they can get past the Browns in week one. I can see the Browns upsetting them as well. That's how good I think Cleveland are this year. Week one, you never know, Joe. So it's like week one and week two is going to be interesting. But after that, I can just see them going on a streak. And you know, where that land is, it's going to be interesting to see. But, yeah, that's about it. But,
yeah, that's about it. So we've got about 7 minutes left. So we're going to kind of put you on the spot. Now, I'll put my my two cents in first, because I'm thinking of the question as we're going. I want to know who your favorite and least favorite off seasons were. Who did the best as far as making themselves into Super Bowl contenders, and who did the worst? And I'm going to start. I think probably the worst off season, in my opinion, was one we just talked about, was the LA Raiders. I think that they've taken several steps back. They lost a lot of pieces and did not replace them. They put themselves into they're starting to work backwards after being second place in this division a year ago. This team is going to I would say regress towards the mean, but the mean is 8-8, and so they're going to regress a lot closer towards the bottom of the league. As far as the best, I honestly think that the LA Rams made the best moves in the offseason. This is a 1 year discussion, right? Like, when we're talking about long term, this is not a team that you're going to want to be watching in 5 to 10 years, as they're very quickly just selling off draft assets. So they don't have the ability to keep or sign cheap talent, which is the name of the game, the NFL. So they're putting all their chips on the table for one or two more seasons. Matthew Stafford's in the building. They made some moves on the offensive line to fix that a little bit. They do have some problems at running back, but that is injury concerns mostly. Bring in Sonny Michel via trade as well to is once again just showing that they don't care about the future of this franchise, but they do care a whole lot about winning a Super Bowl this year. So, and that's what this entire offseason was all about. So going for broke, not just talking about a 1 year thing, the Rams probably had the best offseason. Now, when we look at this offseason 5 years from now, it's going to show the demise of the franchise. But this year, this is their best chance to win a Super Bowl since Kurt Warner was under uniform for the Rams. So I think that that team is ready to make a real jump at winning a Super Bowl this year.
Yeah, it's not a bad shot. I like the fact that I think Matt Stafford is a massive upgrade, and he needed to get out of Detroit and he's on offense now. I think he's going to light it up this year. Can I say the Texans for the worst? Because I just think they've just
I completely forgot about them. I tend to forget that they're a NFL franchise anymore.
I think I know where he was going with it. It's like it's kind of bad to mention him because it's been that bad since trading DeAndre Hopkins. Really, I think where Bill O'Brien started, and you know they just really, I mean, it's not looking good there, is it? And they're talking about they talk about trading for Deshaun Watson now with Miami, but I think Miami like Tua too much, and like they want the first and the second for the next couple of years. I mean, you know, with all the stuff going around him, with all the potential charges and stuff, I don't think it's that good of a move. I mean, looking at the worst team, if I can't say them, which I probably shouldn't. I think Atlanta. I don't think Atlanta's been doing much. Offensive line is good, but defensively, I think they look a bit finesseful. I just don't see a lot of strength there on D. Hard to say, really. Jacksonville, let's see what they got, but I do like a little bit of what they've done. Great draft, and they put in a new coach. But, I love what New England have done. I think New England are going to be back at top of the AFC East. It's going to be between them and Buffalo. The Jets, I like the Robert Saleh. Some question as with personnel at the moment, but I think they're heading in the right direction. I mean, I could say that Cleveland would be my favorite team because they are now, but they aren't really all they've done is find Jadeveon Clowney. I think the rest has been installed from the past. They brought in John Johnson and Hill from the Rams. They've a couple of their best defenders to show up that defense. So along with Clowney, I think that's going to be, you know, Cora Moore as well coming in and Anthony Walker from the Colts, they're gonna be good. I really like what the Browns have done. Could probably say those as becoming the biggest contender to the Chiefs now, I think, in the AFC, which is quite a big call, you know, given that the Patriots and the Bills are so strong, and you know the Chargers, the Broncos, Titans, it's there for the taking for the best. I mean, every season, James. I mean, the parity we see in the NFL, so many teams just change so much during the offseason. And, you know, you can get really, you can go from really bad to really good fast. And it's like nothing else. This is why this is the best league in the world for me. I mean, you know, you can be a fan of some team and then all of a sudden you're really bad, but then you know you can't really get down too much about it because you know it can switch around in a couple of years and you can be a contender again. I love that about it. You know, so much parity. But I'm gonna say the Texans definitely for the worst and probably the Browns are the best. Yeah, I mean, I was gonna say if we're going there, what would you fancy for a rookie Rookie of the Year, offense and defense? Any preference? Any names come at you straight away, or do you want to just...
So, for Offensive Rookie of the Year, I'm going to go Chalk. Trevor Lawrence is... Actually, you know what? I kind of like Trey Lance for Offensive Rookie of the Year. Just because he's going to be on the better team. Trevor Lawrence is going to do well, I think. I think that the Jaguars are going to win more games than they did last year. Or any time in the past 5 years, I think it's entirely possible just for the addition of Trevor Lawrence. As far as defensive player of the year, I always go with somebody like off the cuff and never really turns out, but I'm going to go with Rashad Weaver, the kid from Pitt. He was somebody that I was really high on during the draft process, kind of a fourth round pick kind of guy. I don't really think he's going to end up winning the defensive rookie of the year. If I really was going to pick one, it'd probably be Micah Parsons. He's done really well for the Dallas Cowboys at this point. He's going to come in. He's going to step into a leading role. I would say if I were a betting man, if I were going to put actual money on it, I'd probably put Micah Parsons as my favorite. But as far as underrated guys, I think Rashad Weaver is going to start taking the league by storm eventually. What about you? What do you think about that?
No, yeah, I think we have both good shouts, and I agree with you. It's like that middle linebacker position gets so many tackles done when you look at your start. And like if the Redskins defense plays as it does, and that defensive front keeps guards off linebackers, then Jamin Davis could be in for a big year. At linebacker there, I agree with Luke Parsons as well. Those two, and also the Arizona kid. I think those three can have really big years at linebacker. So, you know, that's just going off stats. You know, they're going to put up over 100 tackles if they start week to week. So, I think that's just a sense of a shout. You know, corners like Pat Surtain in Denver, and it's going to be hard for them to see a lot of the field. I mean, Elijah Molden's a kid I really like in Tennessee. I think he's done nothing but make plays in college. So if you're going to say Weaver, I'm going to say Molden, just go outside the box. I think he's a player that's going to thrive in, you know, in the nickel and just making plays on defense. Kind of like the Honey Badger, you know, eventually, maybe not as fast, but definitely the instincts are just there with him. You know, I love watching him play, love watching him in the offseason. Offensively, it's going to be strange to see if the players, I think, are going to get the opportunities, because I like both Javonte Williams and Michael Carter at North Carolina. But I wonder, are they going to see enough of the field? Because, you know, it's running back by committee in Denver and also in New York with the Jets. But I think they'll both eventually win starting spots, but it might be next year. But I'm excited to see the both of those have a run at it. But, Trevor Lawrence is going to get most of the... Like, Trevor Lawrence and Micah Parsons, I think, are heavy favourites for both. So, you know, it's hard not to look past those if you're going to bet. But as far as my favourite goes, then, yeah, like you said, like a Weaver, but like Elijah Molden and Javonte Williams, I think those two are going to be superb. But, like, you can't take away from Devonta Smith. What he done in college, I think, is going to carry on the pros as well. I think if James gets in the ball...
And he has been really impressive for the Eagles. He's been really impressive for the Eagles all preseason long. Had a little bit of a hiccup with a little bit of an injury, and that's always going to be the big concern with Devonta Smith. But if he does stay healthy, and that's a big if always, but they could have a perennial Pro Bowler on their hands there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
good
yeah, we are cutting down to the end of the show. So, Rodri, it's been nice covering these divisions with you. Any final words or shout outs before we close up the kitchen porn of the week?
No, Yeah, it's been great. Go from the draft day when we done the draft live, and even though I was watching like 20 seconds behind everybody else, so you guys was knowing the draft picks before, so I knew him. It was pretty good to have Brian on, and Sirius had joined in, and Mike had joined in. A few people coming in and out, but we've seen this from start to finish. But I'm proud of you, proud of what you've done, and how you work it. And let's take it from here now and take the season on. All the best. Check us out in further shows as the season goes. All the best.
We're off next week on Monday, but Tuesday we will be doing our Sports City Chefs Fantasy Football League draft. So check that out on Tuesday. Till then, we'll see you guys next time. Peace. Sports City, Sports City, Chefs, Chefs, Sports City.